midday, and then the clouds came, and then there was wind, and it was cold.
'75 to '80s.
So you like it kind of warm, ish. In where?
Phoenix.
In Phoenix. I grew up in Phoenix. Well, Mesa, same difference. What are you eating? Do you know? You don't have a mouthful, right? No. Can you? Can you open us up in prayer, or you can't? All right. Awesome. Amen. So the other night I was watching one of those information commercials, right? The what? No, information commercials. No, the backdrop to this information commercial was a monastery. This monastery in Europe. And I've seen this before. There's this monastery, and it's perched high up on this high cliff. And the only way you could get to it is a basket, but it's suspended on a rope. And then the monks up top, they pull and they tug with all their strength to get somebody up. Now, there was this tourist what got extremely nervous when he started looking up and looking out, seeing how high he was getting, and the rope was really old and frayed. And then he turns to the other gentleman in the basket, and it was a monk, and with a trembling voice, he said, how often do you guys change that rope? And the monk thought for a little bit and said, whenever it breaks. You could laugh. Go ahead. Sorry. You know, Jesus may be old, but he's definitely not frail, and he'll never break. Jesus is our only lifeline to God. In the world of fearful and skepticism, we can give three assurances that are way more comforting than what the monk said to that gentleman in the basket, right? Jesus is the only way because only he is the ultimate authority. He's our advocate, and he's our atoner. Now, there are many upon many examples of the authority of Jesus in the Bible. You know, from casting out demons, from controlling the sea and the air, from healing the sick. Now, we're going to look at one example in Acts where this gentleman was well known to be crippled from birth, meaning that he was born crippled, and he's been that way for 40 years, right? He was that way for 40 years. And he was a regular fixture, meaning that everybody at the temple would see him because they would carry him out every morning at the gate, and then he would beg for help, and that's how he made his living. But so everybody what went to the temple, they would see him every morning, so he was very well known. Everybody's seen him there before. So they know that it wasn't just somebody acting for a couple days. He's been there for 40 years, right? And everybody at that temple one morning witnessed him dancing like a young child, with his legs functioning beautifully, joyfully praising God. So as I said, we're going to be in Acts. So let me turn there. So in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Chapter 3, 1 through 6. Oh, yes, we have Bibles straight in the back. If you do not have a Bible, please slap me in front of the head and I will get you one, because I forgot to tell you that. So, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And as we all follow along, Kayla, would you like to read? So instead of receiving money, he received a miracle of healing. A miracle of healing, I'm sure, which was better than money, right? I mean, if you were lame or mean, not, they changed that word lame. It's not mean. Lame means like crippled, you know, he can't walk. I mean, can you imagine not being able to walk or ever walking, then you just being able to walk. That would be priceless, right? That would be priceless. And it was all just because of the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the disturbance in the temple came to the attention of the temple guards and the Sadducees, and those guys are the ones what were kind of responsible for the affairs or what was going on in the temple. And as soon as they could, they took Peter and John away from the crowd and threw him in jail. I mean, it's kind of a crazy response to something, what would be a miracle, right? A righteous and good act, right? They didn't like going, they didn't high five them. They didn't like, yeah. You know, they threw him in jail. They threw him in jail. And then that next day, the religious leaders of Jerusalem assembled and demanded answers. So we'll pick up in chapter 4, verse 7. Cassie? You know, even though these leaders, you know, they were supposed to have been believing in God. And I feel like they believed in God, but, you know, the best record I could feel like is like they were threatened by this authority, by the authority of why this miracle happened. And they were afraid of losing the power or what power they did have. You know, people still today act that way. You know, if you think about it, it seems like when you put it straight out for a good act, you know, they threw him in jail. That seems crazy, but people still act that way today. I mean, you probably witnessed something like that, where something's good, but they're upset because it changes the way they're living. You know, maybe they don't want to submit because they don't want to give up what they think they have. Or what they do have, they don't want to give something up. So they don't want to submit. And then let's go on to verses 8 through 12 in chapter 4. TJ? I think you were in the wrong chapter. It's chapter 4. No, no problem. That was the man who got miracle healing, which is awesome. No, he did get healed. We all know this, right? Of course, we know it now. Sorry. 8 through 12. 8 through 12. All right, so, you know, Peter is very bold, right? And he told him just exactly where how it is, you know, that this man was healed by Jesus' name. You know, and when it goes into the builder with the cornerstone, you know, if you're building a building, you have to start at the cornerstone, right, or corner. And then everything levels off from there. What that whole thing is about, it's in the Old Testament where they would take, you know, if the cornerstone wasn't perfect, they throw it aside. And he's just saying that they disregarded Jesus, but he is the cornerstone. He's everything builds off of him. He is perfect, and everything would be perfect and stand strong if we have him as our cornerstone. But Peter's words are just as relevant today as they were back then. You know, we can believe that Jesus is the only way because no other name, just his name, has that much authority and power. You know, just because that name, just because Peter and John spoke that name, that man was healed. Let's turn to Ephesians. So we're going to go to the right, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. And I was thinking it was going to come to me. Yeah. Emma. I will. Ephesians chapter 1, 20 through 23. Ephesians chapter 1. Okay.
Sorry.
But, it's, you know, it fits. Yeah. It was fitting. Perfect. That was nice.
Chapter 20. Okay,
chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. So Jesus' authority is more important to respect than any others. You get that from those verses? That it's more important to respect his authority. Why? Because he's over all other authority. He's more powerful, and he rules over all the other authorities. Right? Nobody's ahead of him. Everything comes through him. 1 John. So again, we're going to turn to the right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. You there? 1 John 2, 1, right? Elijah. I think we're in the wrong chapter again. Oh. Well, it was Peter and John while we were there, so right? Earlier. All right, so we have an advocate, right? So what is an advocate? Yeah, they could help you. Like?
I just think of it as like somebody who would like help you with somebody else. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. It makes perfect sense. kind of, if you want to look at it legally terms, does that help? Like something else that starts with A, kind of a attorney. Yeah, similar to a very, very similar to an attorney if you want to look at it legally, a legal term. An advocate is somebody who will fight for you publicly, will stand on your behalf. You know, it doesn't matter what's happening, they will stand on your behalf. So like a really good friend, right? Well, it has your back. But this would be a very good thing, right? We need an advocate, right? There's times where we need an advocate. And who else would you want on your side than the man who has all the authority, right? It makes perfect sense. We'd want Jesus on our side. You know, publicly means that he wouldn't be ashamed to know us, right? He's happy he knows us. He's glad. He'll tell anybody, yeah, you know, they're my friends, right? And he doesn't stay quiet. He's fighting on our behalf. We're going to turn back to the left in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Nick, can you read that? Chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Luke chapter 12, 8 and 9. So with those verses, seems like it makes sense that we want Jesus to know us, right? Wouldn't we want Jesus to know us? Henceforth, if we want Jesus to know us, we should know about him. Right? We should make an effort to know about him. If we want him to know about us, we should know about him. And where do we learn that? In the Bible. Just on Sunday? Just reading the Bible on Sunday? Or all the time, or as much as we can. You know, it is awesome to wake up to the Bible if you get in a habit. And sometimes it might be difficult at the beginning, but, you know, once you do it, it becomes a habit, right? And it's a good habit. Now, Jesus often illustrated his teachings, you know, by a picture. A picture of something everybody would understand, right? So, and a lot of times it would be kind of like the relationship between the shepherd and his sheep, right? Especially in that day, that was everybody knew about shepherding and sheep and everything. Today, there's not a lot of, I mean, not everybody has sheep, right? Who has sheep? Nobody. But we all understand that the shepherd and sheep, there's a bond between them, right? We've all heard this. We know that there's a bond between them. You know, it's remarkable how a flock will actually follow a shepherd through a crowded street full of distractions, right? He just follows his shepherd. You know, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd and will only follow that voice, you know, disregarding all others. We could see from this picture that the shepherd has a special role, right? He has a special role and responsibilities because there's a leadership responsibility, right? Protection is you don't want a lost sheep, right? Wandering down the street, you might get hit. And then the love for those who follow him. Now, at night, sheep often were gathered up, are still gathered up, and put into a pen. Why? They won't go on their own. Right, for protection, right? So during the night, they don't wander off, or that something doesn't come wandering into the flock, right? Something like a wolf, right? A wolf. Now, Jesus spoke of himself as a door to that place of protection. Let's turn to John. So we're going to the next book to the right. Should be the next book to the right. Chapter 10. Chapter 10, verses 7 through 11. Brendan. So our good shepherd, which is whom? Jesus, right, is there to lead us and to protect us. Because he loves us. That's what I have written down. You guys are awesome. Did you see my notes? Okay. He laid down his own life for us, right? For us, his sheep. He laid down his life. You know, so that we could have a way that we could be saved. In Titus, we're going to the right. Titus, is that where they get Tyson? No, it's close. Titus chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14. I'm kind of down to new visitors. Does anybody feel like reading? I don't know. Okay, all right, don't. Yeah, 13 and 14. Our good shepherd is the voice we should follow because he's the only voice that leads to heaven, to salvation, right? We're back in Ephesians. Huh? Jerry? Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. 8 and 9. Sorry, we just have a couple more verses. But it's good. You get to know the Bible, right? Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. 8 and 9. Riley? Yeah, you can read. All right, so salvation isn't measured on how many good deeds we have done or if we've done one bad deed in the past. Salvation comes by fill in the blank. Oh, yeah, it wasn't a pause moment. It was a fill in the blank, sorry. Okay, salvation comes by faith and grace. It comes by grace. It comes by grace, right? This free gift is received by asking the one true God for it, right? And that starts a relationship between whom?
Us and God.
Us and God, right? That's that relationship. We just need to ask for it. It's a free gift. And then in John, so we're going to the left. John 14, verse 6. Or, you know, you could even just turn around and look at the back wall, but. Oh, there it is. All right, so John 14, verse 6. Yeah, I know, but That's the gist of it. So? Okay. Who? Nick. Sure, Nick. Guys are awesome, right? It has been said, without the way, no journey can be taken. Without the truth, no truth can be known. Without life, no life can be lived. I'm the way which must be followed. I am the truth which must be believed. I am the life for which man must hope. There are many, many doors out in this world, but there's only one that leads to salvation.